How is everyone doing today? Ego killer, Johan Francis. Imagine if I started every show just like that. You guys would tune out with the quicks. This is to highlight what we kind of misinterpret as stoicism, the detachment of feeling in the favor of looking for virtue. And there's a lot going on there. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to try and hit those peaks and valleys with you this week, TGI Monday. Thank God it's Monday right here on Ego Killer Motivation. What do? We peel back layers of the human condition, looking for sticking points using measurable, actionable advice. Spread the word as long and far as you can, you guys, on this TGI Monday. Inflection is important. It shows that I give a crap about what I'm telling you guys and that you guys maybe will reciprocate. And we meet together again in that Voltron of experience and motivation right here. There is something to be taken away from ancient philosophies, and I'm talking today about stoicism. And what I mean by stoicism is that ancient, mostly Greek philosophical arrangement of the mind that says virtue is the most important thing. Totally agree with that. But also, it must take the place of all emotions, right? And to do that, we need to think about our lives in singular focus. This has come up a lot these days with focusing on our mental health. We have apps designed around it. Every other commercial you see implores you to get counseling nowadays. And we've taken a lot of that discussion and put it in the forefront. There's a strong correlation to the need for that. And the need to keep you guys motivated, because so much of the message gets lost when we're talking about getting stronger, losing weight. Just get inside the gym. That ought to be the first thing that you guys knock out the park. Then once you do that, finding consistency along the way, it's going to be hard. You need to have that footing trying to climb that mountain of success in the gym. That footing right there is you being sure with the chest out, the chin up, having confidence in your decisions. The competence follows the confidence. You start to make moves that make you feel better and you grow, you get stronger. So we try to do that right here when I'm talking with you guys. And let me know who the most stoic person in the world is that you've ever met in your life, how they displayed it, what it meant to you. And today we're going to go through it. We're going to go through it talking about the role of ego with our stoicism right here. I'll give you a couple of examples of people that I've met who I found to be oddly stoic in moments of fire, how I've learned to practice the good parts of stoicism, the downfalls of what it is. I'll talk about a Roman emperor too a little bit, and then I'm going to go over Atomic Habits with you from James Clear. This is a little bit about behavior change, which is what we talk about right here on this show. And of course, when we talk about modern stoicism, right, we're talking about a lot of stuff. It's the importance of understanding what's in our control and not for reason and also for virtue. Nowadays, this stuff is picking up steam as we start to realize that there are some really, really, really obvious barriers to living a life that's all about reason and virtue. Reason and virtue. Those unsexy, just thinking about someone who's reasonable and virtuous, right? What do you think of, like, a vanilla superhero? Someone that's very on. I'm not a big superhero guy, but they're, you know, I'm feeling like just someone who just is always by the book, like on some Joe Friday type stuff. That's great. Joe Friday was probably a dude. Like, this is a guy you can have. He doesn't drink beer, clearly, but if he did, he can have like a Dos Equis, right? 0.01% alcohol. This is a man that you could throw back a Dos Equis with or something like that, because just virtue and reason right there, right? We don't want someone, especially in that type of authority, making mistakes. Never that. Instead, what gets crystallized is sitting in thought about what's really important. And that reframes how we react. And because it reframes how we react, we might get a better reaction. Let's break it all the way down right here. Let's go. most certainly, you guys understand, whether you've done them or not, that there are these combat sports, these art forms called martial arts, and probably one of the first things these art forms espouse, whether it be a really kind of over the top, exaggerated type way, or in a very real practitioner type way, is the idea of self-control and discipline. Discipline of mind, sharpening that mind. And this kind of goes hand in hand with stoicism. When I was working at a gym a long time ago, I remember I had a lot of rounds with some men and women who were very tough, way tougher, well, way more skilled at the art of Muay Thai than I was. And I was coming in kind of a good athlete, and I trained a little boxing. I went in and we were doing a ton of rounds. And there was at least maybe two professionals there. One was a professional Muay Thai fighter. The other was a borderline Hall of Fame MMA fighter. And he was still in the midst of his career. He was able to take me right down. There was another dude in class. Let's call him Vasily. Vasily was about my height, weighed about 20, maybe 15, 10 pounds less than me. Wiry. Dude was a rooster and about as ornery as an old rooster right there. Dude looked like someone you didn't want it with because you knew wiry, angry, bald Eastern European. That combo right there, do you want it with someone like that? Not in the worst way. Cool dude tied his gloves and wraps up with duct tape. With duct tape. So before practices, all you would hear is because he's tying his gloves up with the shit the army invented in the 40s to stop pipes from bursting open. This guy was tying his hands with that stuff. Not just once, but repeatedly. Anyway, Vasily was in the ring and he was boxing me up because your boy got tired within the first 3 minutes. Because again, you ever hear the phrase, you guys have heard this, keep knocking on the devil's door and someone's going to answer, or don't bite off more than you could chew. They go hand in hand. What they're trying to tell you is those little, you know, idioms is like, you got to be ready for the opportunities that you are demanding. Like, you can be out here being a squeaky wheel, but when you get that opportunity, you need to make sure you take full advantage, not just seeing the good, but seeing the potential bad. And if you don't see the potential bad, don't even raise your hand for that smoke, right? Don't raise your hand for the opportunity at all if you, on your worst day, are unable to perform at the standards of said opportunity. Bet. I went in, getting smoked, getting rocked that first day. Vasily was, had my friend recording me. Look back in the film and he was actually holding me with the left and hammering me with the right like he was Butterbean. And I was blocking until, you know, he pulled me off. I think I staggered out of it. And this is back more than 10 years ago where nowadays light sparring is kind of the modus operandi in most fight schools. Not back then. Just not back then, going back to like the original days. It just, now it's important, right? We know about CTE. We know about recovery. Back then, not so much. All right. So the next person, because I actually got called up to the ring to see, the coach wanted to see what I could do. I showed him that I could fold in half really well. I had good hip flexibility to cover up body shots. I showed him that I was really good at preserving my life by not wanting to be in front of a locomotive coming right at me speaking, you know, Macedonian or Greek. Instead, I opted for, let me cover, get out of the way. But I didn't quit. And that's what they were actually trying to get me to look for and see. And I didn't quit. Too stubborn. So next up is the other professional. And this man was all about the work. He was strong. He was fast. And I remember his coach, There were two coaches in there that day, about 30, 40 people, all fighters. And his coach was telling him what to do against me. Physically, I won, right? I was bigger than the guy. But skill-wise and fatigue-wise, well, he could have dog-walked me at that moment. He chose not to. And his coach was like, okay, work this jab, work this. Every about 25 seconds, I managed to lunge a punch at him or try to throw. I couldn't kick anymore. I was way too tired. And it would miss like by a mile. And he had to induct his own sense of stoicism and go, oh, old buddy is tired beyond all recognition. He does not want it with me. Let me just work. So even though every now and again I'd be throwing a hand at him trying to hit him, he'd have to collect himself and be like, nah, he's not trying to hurt me. He's trying to defend. And I never forget how much he just glided around the ring, choosing to just jab me in specific places. And when I would get too close and have to grab him with all my strength, horrible idea, by the way, because you get more tired, a calculus not known to the layman, uninformed fighter, soon to be fighter, fight fan, couch potato. Don't use all your musculature to hold another human off. Use technique. If you don't have technique and you can't run out of the room, just use your hands and move around a lot. Anyway, I didn't know that. So he did everything in his power. And I remember thinking, like, what a professional. He didn't kick my ass. He just let me kind of move with him, moved with me, had fight coming up, and did not tee off on me. I'll never forget that, thinking that that man is a professional. The perfect representation of stoicism. He was calm before rounds, every round. I wanted that level of calm. And I must say that in my life, I've come to appreciate the good parts of what you guys can get out of stoicism. And attention to taking care of what needs to be done. Going into the gym, working hard when it's tough, not thinking that today is the worst day that I've had in a really long time. That's going to affect my workout poorly. Because if we think that way, we forget that, oh, the easier thing is to not show up. And that has deeper impacts into your physical health. Having that fuck it moment where, hey, we know that I've had all the stress in the world. No one would blame me for just phoning it in, going to get fast food every day of the week. I've eaten a record number of pizzas this week. It's amazing, right? Went back to some of my old habits, feeling terrible trying to cover up that void. Eating habits, they're at a zero. No one will blame me because I have so much on my plate, for example. It happens to the best of you. Happens to all of us. It's perfectly natural to punt in those situations. Instead, having the good parts of what we know is right, opting for reason, tells us these are the moments where we get to change our behaviors. These are the moments where we actually form the bridge to a new life. And if we choose to punt and give up in those moments, we never change. And you want to go meta, even having the mindset to think about how cool it is that you could think about that in that moment, that's growth. Self-control, unsexy, right? Resiliency. These are the spaces that we thrive in when we think about the good parts of stoicism. So what are some of the other parts? Let's talk about it. Some of this guesswork inside of what we need to do next is completely eliminated on my website, CoachJohanCSS.com. Nutrition packet right there waiting for you for free. You need to cop that. Once you do, you'll be able to say, I know all the basic asks having to do with my eating and health. If you know that stuff, you could go ahead and get it cracking with your nutrition and start to build on that thing. Also, prepare for these live sessions. I'm going to be going into a masterclass series. It will end up on that website. And then you can sign up for that Q&A coming up within the month of March. So let's get back to talking about this. And I was thinking about like who is really stoic. And for you guys that are football fans, there was a time where my Oakland Raiders were coached by a guy that everybody seemed to dislike in that locker room. And upon his departure, upon him getting kicked out, apparently, and this happened very recently, there was a cigar lighting, almost an effigy of that coach who left. And why was it so celebratory and cathartic for the players to say, let's get this dude up out the paint? What was that about? Well, this coach had a very, very depersonalized approach, apparently, to football. Now, no one's in the locker room except for those 60, 70, 100 people and 100 millionaires, might I say. No one's in that locker room, so we won't really know how far the relationship had fallen down, how bad the rapport was. We don't know any of that, but what we can take a look at is that old blueprint. This was a coach who was along the lines of, or was a disciple or a student of Bill Belichick. And one thing we know about him is he's a stoic actor. When he's on TV, ask him a stupid question, he'll just move right on to the left. But what else we know about that situation, or any situations maybe you guys have had with people who are your bosses at work, your managers, who they take all the fun out of doing the job whatsoever. And a passionless job is simply just a job worth only enduring long enough to make the money. And sadly for those employers, once I have enough money, I am out. I'm not helping you. There is no good faith. There is no looking back about what you, the poorly personal employer, has done for me at all. This became a transaction. Me getting a paycheck and then me getting the hell on. Why? Because you took the joy and the passion out of everything that we were doing in this spot. A little too stoic for us. This is a mindset. Marcus Aurelius was apparently the emperor who had this practice deep within his, in between those ears as he's running that Rome right there and appearing on screen with who's that Australian actor guy. And it was all about moral leadership. He was known for this. He was known for a wisdom that extended far beyond his years. But we have to remember that he maybe was, we promote resilience and virtue and emotional detachment, which can come in handy when you're trying to make very powerful physical movements, literally physical movements in the gym. Emotion doesn't get involved. When we're trying to confront friends and family with important ideas for them to make them better, emotions have to be not the first thing we pay attention to. Also, the idea that emotional detachment is bad is actually fairly useful in spots because it's hard when that limbic system starts to fire up and those emotions get going in high pressure situations. We need to learn to also cognitively think. On the other side, right? Procrastination becomes the action of negative emotion. Actually prevents us from having a strong memory, from doing really technical, physical moves. These executive functions, they bounce when we start to get in a mode of procrastination or the behavior of it, depression and other things like that, right? And so, yeah, there's kind of importance to leaving emotions out of it, but we have to remember to bring emotions back in as soon as we can because an emotionless life certainly is an isolating one. It is a gray one. It's a dry one. It's one without virtue and meaning. And, you know, just saying that makes me feel worse. It makes me feel sad as shit. So Let's go over this. Let's talk about it as we close out here. We're talking about Atomic Habits. Now, this is a book by a man named James Clear, and I'll give you just some of the points that highlight, and I'll give you a little bit of a rundown. You guys see if you agree with me or Clear or us both or neither of us in the comments right there. Make it obvious. So these are his four rules. Make it attractive. He also says, make it obvious, make it attractive. He says, make it easy and make it satisfying. Some I like, some I don't like. Make it obvious. So if you're talking about awareness and habit change, you want to make it obvious. Clear suggests that by making cues of good habits obvious, it becomes easier to engage with them. This can involve redesigning your environment. I think of this one as, do you want to reframe your environment? 100%, like one of the best things that you can do for change your eating is putting bowls of fruit around you. Fruit is colorful, it's bright, it smells good, it looks good in pictures. It's very tactile. It has the beautiful flavor profile, all of those things. They send messages to your mind, to your brain that, yes, do more of this, right? Fruit isn't gray and boring. So this is a tactic that you guys can, in fact, get used to. And it's pretty hard to leave like ribeyes out, just a bunch of ribeyes all over your kitchen. You know, like leave a plate of ribeyes out. It's like, do you like houseflies and maggots and stuff? Because that's what you'll get. Right. But fruit, not so much. Fruit flies, maybe. I feel like they only come out at a certain point when all that ethyl gas gets into the air. But I mean, and you can just kind of bat those away, right? Ain't no one tripping off a couple of fruit flies. Plus, they're easy. You just throw the fruit out. Anyway, yeah, I'll agree with this one. Make it pretty obvious. Make it obvious that you need to change something by sometimes. What you guys need to do is, you know that you're going to get your workout in later, get your shoes on, right? Get your workout shoes on. I'll be out here about to bike. I'm going to go ride my road bike. It's a good way to get my cardio, get my legs going. I'll park my car up the street, ride back, whatever. I'll put on my bike shorts and my bib, and those things squeeze and they are uncomfortable unless you're on a damn bike. So I'm feeling every second of the day, I need to get on this damn bike so I could peel this crap off of me really quickly. Those are very obvious. And it isn't so obvious sometimes when we have like a room full of fitness equipment. For the strong-minded amongst us, that is an obvious way for us to get active and work out because you see it and you walk by. But when we're really in a mode, we can ignore it. So make it even more obvious, right? Wear the clothes that you're supposed to be working out in. And then be like, yo, it's hella cold. Oh, that's right. I'm wearing a tank top like me right now. And it's winter, you know. Oh, that's right. I better go hit that, get that work, right? Make it attractive is number two. The second law is about increasing the appeal of good habits. He argues that making habit change will increase the likelihood of it being performed. Making it attractive, like looking good. That means that you feel good. Look good. Feel good. This is why you guys go and you'll buy gloves. I buy gloves that look pretty dope. And if I'm boxing, this is why there's so many companies in Muay Thai that have dope looking gloves, because it's an attitude. It's a mindset that even though you're having fun, you're also remembering this is warrior shit that we're doing here. And that dial, that switch, it can be turned up or down. We'd never click it off when we're training, when you guys are looking for your highest version of self. There's only a dial, up or down, never an off. Okay. And kind of, hey, if change is attractive, there is some reason to believe that you can stick with it. He goes in a little deeper. He says that pairing action with temptation pairing an action you want to do with an action you need to do. And for me, that's a big no-no, because we're looking at external forces. We talked about it. Personalize what it is you need to get done and watch it unfold in front of you. Even if someone kind of put that bug in your ear, that suggestion, like, man, you'd be really good at pickleball. You'd be really good at long distance mountain climbing, bouldering. now thinking about, you know, would I? Is this something I enjoy? Is it tied to my goals and motivation? How does it help my family and friends? Now we're personalizing it. Don't get more personal than family and friends. When I just look across and I see a prize, when I see that there is a, you know, constantly changing ebb and flow of want and desire and outside need and traffic and all this stuff that could shift, is way easier for you guys to fall off. Last two are make it easy and make it satisfying. He says, emphasizing the importance of reducing friction, all for it. To make good habits makes it easier to adopt. Oversimplification can be super, it doesn't respect sometimes the time that we need to put in, right? If you oversimplify tasks, if you oversimplify the details, what happens oftentimes, I know I try to do this sometimes, but what happens oftentimes is we might end up missing crucial details. Do I agree that making it easy? I definitely agree in making it easier. Easy is not where I expect you guys to live. I expect you guys to appreciate that activation energy. The amount of energy it takes to start your new running program, studying every night, trying to get that certification to move up. The barriers need to be lower. Need to get energized to do that work for the day. Fewer barriers, but not none. When there's none, doesn't really inspire confidence, right? And it doesn't build skill. And lastly, make it satisfying. And this is the completion of, you know, the ABCs, the consequence. We talk about it. The final law focuses on the importance of immediate satisfaction in habit formation. Clear suggests that we're more likely to repeat a behavior, okay, when it's immediately rewarding. And I've seen far too many examples of this being all bad, right? Satisfying, yes, but take it a step further. Think, how? How did this make my life better? How did this make my day better? Satisfying isn't enough. So much of the things in the world that come to my mind or your mind when you think of satisfying, man, that could be anything. And I've known far too many folks in my time that have chosen satisfying over every other thing, and they get stuck just doing what's satisfying only because it's just that easy to do. Thinking about how do I feel better or worse is the first thing. And then how did that make me feel better or worse? So I'm about 50-50 with those atomic habits right there. I think there's a good launching point, but being mindful of how we think is important. Also taking time to not just fully separate from emotion, but to keep it out when we need to think and make quality decisions. Definitely smart right there. But remembering to bring the emotion all the way back in. This week, we're going to talk a lot about some more ancient principles, a little bit more about stoicism. So keep coming back for all that right there. And since you made it to the end, your reward is to go download that right there on CoachJohanCSCS.com, that nutrition jumpstart packet. Waiting. And until the next one, you guys, stay all the way up.